Saints of God, we've been talking about Stephen, and Stephen is finishing his defense. Amen. And he done told them everything about themselves. Amen. And he ends off his defense by calling them stiff-necked, uncircumcised in ears, always resisting the Holy Ghost. Last time we saw how when Stephen told them the truth, they were cut to the heart. And when we are told the truth about ourselves, amen, a lot of the times it don't hurt us on the outside, but it hurt us where? On the inside. And we have a choice at that moment, hallelujah, of what we should do. We could receive it, amen, and grow, or we could reject it, amen, and grow angry and grow in hate. We notice that the elders, the Hebrews in Stephen's day, they rejected the truth. They did not receive what Stephen was saying, and they actually got mad. And last week, all we wanted to tell you was that, amen, you don't want to be a person like that. If somebody tells you something about yourself, whether you see it as true or not, amen, you should receive it, pray about it, seek the Lord about it. Why? Because they could be telling you something about yourself that you don't necessarily know. Amen. We all have what is called blind spots, yo. Well, we might be selfish, we might be greedy, we might have this thing about us that we don't really see, all right? And so it's important to receive. We ask the question that Paul asks in Galatians, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And we just went through all kinds of relationships, husbands and wives, parents to children, friends and family. Even in church, y'all, we have to be receptive of the truth. This morning, we're going to continue, amen? And we'll move to our second point of the morning. And the second point is just simply we're going to talk about full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say that with me, full of the Holy Ghost. And with God's help, we'll do the second and third point this morning, and then we'll save the fourth point, hopefully, for next Sunday. But let's look at this second point, starting at verse 55. It says, but he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, what did he do? He looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost. One commentator says it like this: his persecutors and the people that were surrounding him, they were filled with rage. They were filled with malice and hate and indignation. They were filled with the devil. But Stephen was full of God, y'all. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's a word for us already. The lesson not really getting started. Let the people around you that hate you and talk about you be filled with whatever they want to be filled with. But don't you ever stop them. Don't you ever allow them to stop you from being filled with God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. You got to stay in your lane. You got to stay connected with God. Amen. Because people are going to try to pull you out yourself. Amen. People are going to try to get you to act like you used to act. Amen. So you want to stay under the control and under the auspices of the Most High God. Now, this phrase, full of the Holy Ghost, means just that. It means that God has commandeered your body. It means that he is in control. All right. When God is in control of your body, amen, you are under the influence. But you're not under the influence of alcohol. You're under the influence of the Almighty. Come on, give God some glory, amen. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, amen, your giftings are amplified, amen. The fruit of your life is amplified, amen. Your faith is amplified, amen. Boldness is amplified. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm telling you, you could stand up and do something, and then people look at you, Tyrone, they say, that's not you. That don't even look like you. Don't even sound like you. And you tell them, amen, it's not me. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Hallelujah. And that's what we all should seek to do, be full of the Holy Ghost. And there's some that teach in the churches, amen, that you come to the altar, you get filled one time, and that's it. And really and frankly, that's been in the church for a long time. But as I study my Bible, looking at the Greek, amen, God don't talk about it as a one-time shot. Like you come get laid hands on, you get full, and then you go back home and you're full the rest of your life. No, really and truly, the Bible tells us, be ever filled with the Holy Ghost. It means wake up every morning and ask him, Lord, fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Take control of this body. You know, God is a gentleman, y'all, and he's not going to force himself on anybody. So every morning we say, God, fill me with your spirit. You sit on the throne of my life. You go to work for me. You love my wife for me. You love my children for me. You do it through me, God. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. John MacArthur says, yes, the Spirit of God fills us and produces fruit, and giftings, and power and boldness. But what a lot of people don't know is that the Spirit of God will fill us during times of crises in our life, times of trouble, times of persecution, you see? And as Stephen is being persecuted right here, and his enemies all around him, amen, and they want to do him harm, what happens? God opens the heavens and sends down the Holy Ghost and fills him with the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning, amen, in times when people persecute you, God's going to fill you. He's going to equip you. Let them talk about you. Let them hate you. Hallelujah. Let them surround you. Amen. But just tell them, just wait 1 second. Power's coming from above. Amen. He's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. And the devil is scattered the Holy Ghost, yo. He scattered the filling of the Holy Ghost. You remember, amen, on Popeye, amen, the enemies of Popeye used to run when Popeye used to get that spinach in him. Popeye would come out there, that old muscle would get big and them legs would get big, amen. His forearms get big, amen. What happened? He done ate his spinach. I want to tell you there's a spiritual spinach for the Christian. There's a spiritual spinach for the believer, and that's the Holy Ghost. And the devil know you could knock him out with one punch with that Holy Ghost, amen. Hallelujah. We just got to open our mouth wide and say, Lord, fill me with this Holy Ghost. Let's try that. Come on, say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. You got to pray that every morning. You got to pray that when you get weak. You got to pray that when the enemy coming in like a flood. Hallelujah. You got to pray it. Hallelujah. And God says, listen, listen, the Bible says, hallelujah, when we ask for bread, he never going to give us a stone. Hallelujah. When we ask for egg, he's not going to give us a scorpion. He said, how much more when you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit? God's never going to deny you when you ask him for the Holy Ghost because he knows that you need him right now. Amen. Hallelujah. So Stephen is going through, y'all. Amen. And when we persecuted, get ready, God will send down his Holy Ghost. In 1 Peter 4:14, it says this, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, what does that reproach mean? That reproach is when people talk about you, when they label you, when they don't want to be around you, when they stop calling you. And they're not reproaching you for something you've done wrong. Mike, look, they reproach you for what? For the name of Christ. They treat us bad. They treat us, they start acting funny with us. Why? Because we love Jesus, y'all. Anybody ever experienced that? They start treating you different because you love the Lord? Amen. I know I have, Brother Elmo, you know. But the Bible says, amen, we shouldn't be surprised at that. Jesus said they hated me without a cause, amen. And if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. And you got to be ready for that as a believer. You see, our new believers, they come to church and people tell them, amen, that life is going to be just perfect. And in a lot of ways, life going to get better. But there's some things in your life that's going to get harder when you become a believer. And one of those things are the people around you that don't understand how much you love Jesus. They won't understand it. All right? And so family going to talk about you. Friends going to talk about you. They're going to treat you funny on the job. Amen. They're going to look at you when you pray. Look at when you read your Bible. Amen. On your own sisters and brothers, your mama, your daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. It seems like everybody going to turn their back on you. But there's one person who's going to never turn his back on you. And that's the Most High God. All right? And the Bible says here, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, if they start treating you funny, start talking about you, if they start trying to alienate you and get away from you, look at it good. He says, happy are you. Look at that. That seemed like a misprint. Hold on, God, what you mean happy? Happy am I? I done lost some friends behind this. They don't stop by and pick me up no more. They don't call me no more. Happy am I? Yeah, be happy. Because anything you lose for God, God gonna give you 1,000-fold much better. Hallelujah. In the end. Bible said you could never outgive God in anything. And I'm telling you this. Hallelujah. Happy are you. Why? Because the Spirit of glory and of God is going to rest upon you. Whenever they persecute you, treat you bad, begin to talk about you. You walk in a room, they want to hush it up. They don't, oh yeah, they won't change the subject. Huh? You've been talking about the people of God. Mr. Seymour, that's how they do that. God said, don't worry about it. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God going to rest upon you. And that's just what happened with Stephen, y'all. They was coming in like a flood, but God, through his Spirit, lift up a standard against him. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. I heard my pastor preach on it one time, amen, at the open door, Pastor Sam. The Bible says, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ." And that's a sweet scripture. It means, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, as you suffer, for what? For Christ. For Christ. They treat you funny for you coming to this church. They treat you funny for you opening up your Bible, for you falling on your knees, for you not doing the things y'all used to do together. They're going to treat you funny, hallelujah, for you saying, "Nah, I can't do that no more." And you're suffering because of that. You're lonely because of that. He said, as your sufferings, hallelujah, as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, watch this, so our consolation, what does consolation mean? Our encouragement, our comfort, also abounded by Christ. This means that as you suffer for God, God going to send comfort. And however the suffering increase, the comfort going to increase too. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? It's amazing, man. I'm telling you. God, I'm telling you. Listen, God going, the old folk you say, he bring me to it and he going to bring me through it. All right? It's kind of like you swimming, amen, in a pool. All right? Hallelujah. The water represents the problem. Huh? But God say, hallelujah, in that pool and the water's going up, amen, but I'm going to give you a floaty. And no matter how high the water go up, you go always float on top because the float is going to go up too. As the sufferings abound, so the comfort, so the consolation. You know, the people who experience the most sufferings for Christ going to get the most comfort from him. All right? And that's the way it works. If we look at that in the NLT, look what it says. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I love that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 55 of Acts 7, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, what did he see? He saw the glory of God. You see, in my heart, Tyrone, not only will God fill us with the Holy Ghost when we're going through trouble and people persecuting us and talking about us, but sometimes God will give you a vision. Stephen was filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that helped him with the persecution. But he also saw a vision, yo. You know? And God does that sometimes. You know, when you're going through tough times and you don't even feel like you're going to make it through. Anybody been there before? Don't seem like the bill's going to get paid. Don't seem like I'm going to make it through this marriage situation. I'm going to make it through with these children. Hallelujah. And it's like, God, this is a dead end. It's not a highway. It's a dead end. I'm not going to make it through this. What God will do sometimes, God will give you a sneak peek, a snapshot, to let you know trouble won't last always. To let you know that whatever you're going through, that this too shall pass. He'll just give you a little vision. He did it to Joseph while Joseph was going through with his brother. He said, "Joseph, don't worry about it. Here's a vision. One day your brother's going to bow down before you." Anybody hear me up in there? He did it to Abraham. "Abraham, don't worry. You can't have children now. But one day, Abraham, look at the stars. Look at the sand. Your children going to be innumerable like the stars, innumerable like the sand." God encourages us when we're going through with vision. All right? Somebody say, God, give me a vision. See, God's going to give you a snapshot of what's to come. See, a lot of times when we was in these building projects and we doing things and we trying to like come to 200, amen, and we looking at this big building, there's so much space and, oh, God, there's so much carpet, there's so much ceiling tile, there's so much of everything, amen? Can't just buy one light bulb, one toilet, amen? So much of everything. God, how are we going to get through it? God, all is so much. God, is so much. And every now and then, Brother Sam, I'll be sleeping or I'm walking through here, amen, before it was done, and God will give me a vision. And he was telling me, hold on just a little bit longer. He gave me a vision. Well, Pastor, what did he show you? He showed me y'all sitting down in here. He showed me the stage, the pulpit. He showed me the preaching. He showed me people at the altar. He showed me people getting saved. He's saying, listen to me, my son. I know it's hard. I know you're going through, but I got something for you on the other side. If you could just hold on a little bit longer. don't know about you, but look for the vision. Come on, tell your neighbor, look for the vision. Got to get you a vision. All right? Stephen's going through. He's going through persecution. Amen. No, no, no. Trouble ain't going to last always. Let me show you something, God says. Let me show you something, God says. Amen. He gave him a vision, a very special vision. You see, but to get this vision, amen, you got to have your eyes pointed the way Stephen had his eyes pointed. The Bible says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, where did he look to see this vision? He looked where? Look up. See, a lot of times we're going through trouble and we're looking down. And some of us do a little bit better. We don't look up. When we look down, you know what I'm saying? Or some of us looking at the people that's giving us trouble. We're looking at us booting up. We're looking at them booting up. You know, mugging, you know. God is trying to tell us, amen, stop looking at the people giving you problems today. Stop looking at them people. Stop looking at them people. Who giving you trouble in your life right now, believer? Stop looking at them. I got a word for you. Look where? Look up. Look up. The Bible said, listen, you got to look to the hills from which cometh your help. Huh? My help comes from the Lord. Stop looking at the haters and the persecutors. Stop looking at the ones that's jealous. Stop looking at the gossipers and the slanderers. Stop looking at the boss on the job. Stop looking at the co-worker. Stop looking at, hallelujah, this neighbor down the street. Where you got to look, Philly? You got to look up. See, when you look up, amen, God can send you a vision. When you're looking down, he can't send you nothing. You got to focus on him. You know, when Peter was walking on water, when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. Got some of y'all sinking right now because you done took your eyes off your prize. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Peter looked up. He received a vision. Pastor, what did he see? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. This is amazing, y'all. You see, they got different levels of heaven, huh? See, we just say heaven, amen. We think that there's just one heaven. They ain't got just one heaven. Oh, no, heaven got levels, y'all. The first heaven is where the birds are, the planes fly. The second heavens represent the celestial and where the angels are. But there's another heaven after the first and the second heaven. That's what we call the third heaven. Ooh, God, hey, God, amen. And that third heaven is where God dwells. Mm-hmm. Ooh, let me tell you something. Hallelujah. Not everybody in that third heaven. Anybody hear me up in here? Bible say God's so high up above the angels, he got to humble himself to behold the heavens. He got to get down low to get with the angels. Amen. He's high and lifted up. All right? All right? Well, Stephen, while he's being surrounded, hallelujah, he looks up. Huh? Oh, that's a word right there, huh? No matter how much they surround you, they can't stop you from looking up. Amen. They're on my left, Lord. They're on my right, Lord. They're behind me. They're in front of me. But they can't be over you. You always can look. Oh, God have mercy. So he looks up. And God gives him supernatural binoculars. God gives him a divine telescope to see past the clouds, to see past the stars, to see past the angels, to see past the gates of Zion, to see past the outer courts, to see into the inner courts, to see into the holy place, to see past the veil, to see into the holy of holies. And Stephen from earth sees right into the throne room of God. He sees God seated on his throne. And he sees Jesus where? At the right hand of God. Come on, give God some glory right here. Now let's talk about how he sees Jesus. He sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. If you know your Bible in here, you know that Jesus is not usually standing. The Bible tells us he's what? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. All right? And a lot of us read that he's seated, amen, and we think that Jesus just stays sitting down, amen? And that's kind of weird, amen? Do you just stay sitting down where you at? No, all right? And I want to tell you, amen, that sometimes in heaven, things can go down on earth that get Jesus up off the throne. Anybody? Oh, God, have mercy. That's exciting, yo. That's exciting. Jesus will stand up for some things. All right? Yeah, he's seated most of the time at the right hand of Father. But some things can happen down here to his people that make Jesus get on up. Anybody hear me up in here? I thank God we got a Savior that get on up. All right? So what happens that makes Jesus get off his throne? Well, number one, he sees Stephen suffering. Huh? Did you know that your suffering, child of God, make Jesus stand up off his throne? He's seated at the right hand of the Father, y'all. Angels serving him. He don't have to get up for nothing. He tell one, go and he go and come and he come. He don't have to get up. Huh? But when he see you going through, when he see you crying for how they treating you, when he see you wetting your pillow at night, amen, when he see you alone, hallelujah. You think you by yourself, hallelujah, and our Messiah done sit up off his throne. I'm with you, baby. I'm walking right out with you. You see? See, what the church, Mike, has lost track of is that whatever we go through, Jesus goes through with us. He says, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is like you've done it unto me. Even when they persecute the church, he's going to run up on Saul in a couple of chapters. He's going to say, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But Jesus, we ain't never touched you. Whatever you do to my people, you done did it unto me. Woo! So our suffering makes Jesus get on up. Huh? He's standing up off his throne. Huh? Pastor, what's another reason Jesus is standing up? Well, to be honest with you, Stephen is about to cross glory. He's about to cross Jordan. He's about to become the first martyr of the church outside of Christ. And Jesus will not only stand up for the suffering of his servants, but he'll stand up for the death of his servants to welcome us into glory. Jesus is not just going to stay seated. He said, another one of my children are coming in. I got to get on up to welcome them up in here. Amen. The Bible says, precious or the death of his saints is the death of his saints. You see what I'm saying? So Stephen is about to come in, y'all. So Jesus stands up. I don't know about you, but it's comforting to me. Amen. That I know that when I close my eyes and cross over from this side, that when I open them, I'm going to see some nail-scarred hands that's been loving me a long time. That somebody going to be running up there to hug me. Amen. And listen, I got a daddy up there. I got a brother up there. I got family members up there. But there's one that I want to see above them all. And that's my Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach. Listen to me now. And he's going to get up off his throne to welcome me in. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Stephen sees the Lord and he's so enthralled with this beatific vision that he speaks out loud. You know? And Stephen says in verse 56, he said, behold, I see the heavens open. He begins to describe what he's seeing to the people that surround him. And he says, I see the Son of Man standing where? On the right hand of God. And I want to tell you, saints, that Stephen shouldn't have said this. In my mind, he shouldn't have said this. See, because sometimes God will give you vision, but the people around you don't want to hear it. And God will give you vision for your life, amen, that, hallelujah, not all the time he wants you to share with others, all right? Because sometimes, amen, when people hear about God's plans for you, hallelujah, they just hate you more. Ooh, it just burned them up. Anybody hear me up in here? You see, favor ain't fair, but it's fabulous. But the ones who don't have it, amen, they're not always happy for you. Just remember Joseph. Listen, Joseph's trouble didn't start with his brothers until he revealed the vision to him. Yeah, they secretly hated him. But when he said that they was going to bow to him, they said, all right, we're going to fix him. They see him coming. They say, look, the dreamer. Let's kill him. Let's throw him in the pit. I got a word for you. God got some beautiful plans for you. God got some things for you, amen, that, hallelujah, exceed your expectations. And when he give you a snapshot of his purpose for you, his plans for you, be careful. Don't share that with anybody. Because not everybody going to help you. Some of them actually going to try to hurt you. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to up in here. You know, the old folk used to say, Miss Simone, they used to say, loose lips sink ships. And so you got to watch yourself. And that came from the Navy, amen. When they'd come out there, they'd be out there. The Navy men would be out, hallelujah, on shore, hallelujah. They couldn't tell where they was harbored at. They couldn't tell where they was going, amen, because the enemy was listening and watching. And you can put the whole crew in jeopardy. I don't know who I'm talking to here. You got to watch who you share your vision with. Because not everybody with you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm going to move on. Here's our third point. Then we're going to stop after this. When they heard the vision, look what it says. They stopped their ears. They stopped their ears. In verse 57, the Bible says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now we're getting a full account of what they do to Stephen. The first thing after Stephen talks about his vision, the Bible says they cried out. And that's our first subpoint, A, they cried out. See, the elders, scribes, and Sanhedrin began to talk loud when Stephen shares his vision. It's the same way the devils used to do when they would see Jesus. They would cry out, you see? Some say they cried out to excite the others around them. Others say they cried out to drown out Stephen's voice. I believe they cried out to drown out Stephen's voice. They didn't want to hear what he had to say, y'all. And sometimes when people are supposed to be listening, they're talking. They cried out. They cried out. This was the most important information that Stephen could give them, but they cried out. I want to tell you here something. Philip, be careful not to be talking when you're supposed to be listening. All right? All right? You see? The Bible say, hallelujah, be slow to speak, but be quick to listen. And slow to wrath. See, sometimes we get in trouble because we talk too much when we're supposed to be receiving and listening. All right? You got to be of a humble spirit. You got to be of a quiet disposition. See, a lot of times God talking to us, but we don't catch him because God speaks in a still small voice. See, my wife used to have a little placard that she had on her wall. We never forgot it. The little placard say, you're not listening if you're talking. And I don't know who this word is for. Amen. Hallelujah. I remember when God gave it to me, I was in law school. Amen. Just be talking way too much. God told me, he said, shh. And when he told me, shh, I began to hear him more. You see? Stephen trying to give them a vision. Stephen trying to tell them what thus saith the Lord. And they cried out. But what else did they do? Look at B. They not only cried out, what did they do? They stopped up their ears. Huh? That's something else. Can y'all visualize what these people are doing? That's what they was doing. Isn't that crazy? That's like some children type stuff, huh? Because they didn't want to hear him. You see? See, God has hardened their hearts. Like he hardened Pharaoh's heart. They just didn't want to hear nothing Stephen had to say. As a believer, you will encounter people like this. Where you try to bring them the gospel. You try to bring them to church. You try to tell them about God. And what they're going to do? Stop up their ear. They can't even hear you no more. Maybe you got a mama like that, a brother like that. A daddy like that, a friend like that. Let me give you another weapon in your arsenal. You know, when somebody stopped hearing you, it's not over, no. You could still win them to Christ. You just got to know how to cross over, all right? See, in basketball, if you know that a man can only go right, I mean, you stick him right. But it's trouble when a man could cross over, huh, Randy? And he can go left, too. See, a lot of us know how to win people to Christ just by talking. But there's another way you can win people to Jesus, yeah. Hallelujah. You can win people to Jesus not only by talking, but switch over sometimes. You can win them by walking it. Anybody, amen? Anybody hear me up in here? We evangelize two ways, talking and walking. All right? Preaching, amen, and living. Sometimes people are going to be so hardened towards your voice, they don't want to hear what you got to say no more. All right? And when that happens to you, oh, God, you got to hear me up in here. Could be a spouse up in here. Hallelujah. You trying to win. And you wonder, Lord, I've been sharing scriptures. I've been reading. I've been doing this. Yeah, you've been doing all that. But have you been walking it lately? All right? So what pastor do when I encounter some people, amen, they've already got a wall up. So what I do, I stop talking. I ain't going to tell you nothing about Jesus. I'm going to show you Jesus. Anybody hear me up in here? I'm going to show you Jesus. I'm going to love you like you ain't never been loved before. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to serve you. Hey, God. I pay for your meals. I buy you something. I'm just going to show the love of God through my actions. There's a word for somebody in here. You've tried everything you could to win somebody and they won't be won. All right? Have you tried to love them in? Have you tried to love them in? Have you tried to walk them in? Huh? Some people can't be preached in. They got to be walked in. You got to grab them by the hand and walk them on in. Huh? Come on, tell your neighbor, walk them in. You see, come on, give God some glory. I'm telling you. Woo! All right, see. Let's just keep on moving. We're looking at what they did. They stopped their ears. They cried out. What's next? They ran upon him. All right? And as we look at our scripture, just staying in context, the Bible says they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and they ran upon Stephen with one accord. And if you can imagine, Stephen is like in a courtroom at this moment on the stand, and he's giving his defense. He sees the vision. He tells them the vision. They stop their ears. They cry out. And then all with one accord, they begin to rush him. I'm talking about the judges, the prosecutors, the witnesses, everybody that's in the courtroom goes after Stephen all in one accord, John. They all rush him. You see? One commentator says they were unanimous in evil, confederate in iniquity. They all in one accord say, we're going to hurt him, we're going to kill him. And God gave me a word for you. Be careful with following the majority. Be careful running all together into something. You see? Because when you run all together into something, it don't mean that it's right. No. Woo! Listen, that's the American way, but that's not the kingdom way. See, the American way say, if we all get together and we decide it's okay, that's what they say, Cherie, then it must be okay. We all got together and we decided that abortion was okay, so it must be okay. We all got together and talked about it, and homosexuality must be okay. We all got together and lesbianism must be okay. We all got together in evolution and we come from monkeys, and it must be okay. Listen to me, man. It's okay in America, but it ain't okay in heaven. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Oh, yeah, they all ran on one accord and grabbed them. Listen to me up in here. All right? As this world gets worse and worse, huh, we're going to become a select minority, y'all. In our thinking and in our moral rationale, we got to stay on the Bible way and not on man's way. Woo! We got to stay on the word of God and not the word of men. You see, God don't change, y'all. He says, I am the Lord and I change it not. He says, I'm Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Forever. His word is settled in heaven. God don't change right and wrong, no, y'all. He don't change that. You got to be careful. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Proverbs, if Sambu can turn me back to Proverbs 11, amen, and 21. One of my favorite scriptures, it says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. You see, when people want to do evil, they try to get as many people with them as possible. Because if they can get a bunch of people with them, they feel better about it. And so what they do, they go hand in hand. And it's thousands of them. It's millions of them. And they all come together and they say, y'all are wrong. The Bible is wrong. This is right. But you know what God said? God said, boy, you better get out of here. He said, I don't care. Though hand join in hand. He said, I don't care if it's a million of y'all. I don't care if it's a billion of y'all. I don't care if it's 5 billion of y'all, 559 billion of y'all, all of y'all on the planet but two people, and y'all all confederate and unanimous in wickedness, God say, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. Woo! You see, in America, when people break laws, they can get together and change laws. See, we've been spoiled in this country. See, we think God's kingdom is a democracy. God is not a democratic leader. He's a king. And a king don't ask his people how they feel, no. How y'all feel about this? Y'all feel like worshiping me? Y'all feel like the cross is good enough? God don't do that. God is kingdom oriented. And when a king talks, the people are supposed to listen. All right? Anybody listening to me right now? All right? So God done came through and said some things is wrong, Tyrone. And we come there like the Tower of Babel, and we say, oh, no, God not going to rule over us. We're going to all get together, and we're going to say, God, you wrong. You. God say, he going to have them in derision. You see? The kings of the earth, huh? Come together against the Lord's anointing. Bible say God gonna laugh from heaven and have them in derision. Let me tell you how radical God is. It says about 6 billion people on the planet. Huh? Let's say 5.9 billion go the wrong way. Huh? And whatever's left over. Huh? 100 million left over. They following the right way. The 6 billion saying, we're not going to follow you. We're going to do it our own. The 100 million saying, God, we're going to follow you wherever. We're going to do what you want us to do. God going to come down from heaven. He going to say, 100 million, y'all scoot over to the right. 5.9 billion, you're sure about what you're doing. Oh, no, God, we don't want none of what you got. God either going to open up the earth or open up the heavens or open up the earth and heavens, and he's going to swallow them up in a second. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And then he's going to look at us 100 million remaining. He's going to say, any question? We're going to say, no, God, no questions at all. No questions at all. You see? They all ran upon him. To our youngsters, be careful. I know how it is when you go to school. I know what they all doing. Huh? But just remember this text for your old pastor. Though hand join in hand. Remember the text that Jesus said. Huh? Broad is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Remember the old text, amen, that Jesus said. Huh? But straight is the gate. And narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Remember the old scriptures that say, amen, many are called, but few are chosen. Huh? You got to not mind being different. You got to not mind being the minority. You got to not mind standing by yourself with God. You got to say, though none go with me, still I will follow. Come on, give God some glory in his house. They all ran upon him, and next they cast him out. We're almost done. And the Bible says they cast him out. They cast him out of the city. And this was in accordance with Leviticus 24, verse 13 through 16, where somebody blasphemed God or cursed the Lord. The job of the elders of that particular jurisdiction was to take them out of the city, amen, and stone them. And so they were doing just what Leviticus had prescribed. Sambut, if y'all can just put that scripture up there in Leviticus, amen. Go to verse 14 just so they could see if they curse, take them without the camp. That's all you need to know right there. And on your free time, you can read it. But what the essence of it is, they felt like, so Stephen was a servant of God. But they felt like they were obeying God by killing Stephen. Isn't that something? Stephen was a servant of God, but they felt like they were obeying God by killing Stephen. And I want to tell you up in here, I want to get you ready, believer. Because there's going to be some people in your life, all right, who don't know God, who don't know Jesus, huh? Who think they know God, who think they know Jesus. And they're going to come against you in the name of God. And they don't know God. Anybody hear me up in here? They're going to think, they're going to do you wrong thinking they do God's service. And that's what Jesus said. In John 16, verse 1, hallelujah. I'm going to try to put it up there for you. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. And Jesus was saying, Hebrews, listen, I'm telling you these things beforehand so you won't go astray and leave the faith. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Jesus says in the next verse, he says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. They're going to put y'all out of churches when you love me too much. He said, a time coming that whosoever killeth you, look, will think that he doeth God's service. They're going to think they're serving God by giving you trouble. When they caught in false religion, they caught in idolatry, they caught in worshiping everything but God, and you serving the real God, but they think they're serving God by harming you. Terrible. The next verse says here, he says, and these things will they do unto you. Why? Because they have not known the Father, nor me. They don't really know him. They don't really know him. You know? Come on, give God some glory, amen. You see? The last one is this. They stoned him. And we're going to get out of here. We're going to do the Lord's Supper and we're going to get out of here. They stoned him. All right? And this is my sub-point E. They stoned him. And right here, we're looking at the actual execution of Stephen. And that takes place, amen, in 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Now, I want to bring you through this whole process of stoning, amen, because sometimes they would just encircle the person. Other times they would dig a hole and put half your body in it to where just your upper extremity is sticking out and you couldn't run, and then they would stone you. Other times they would put you in a pit, you know, where you couldn't get out. The pit was maybe as high as this particular structure right here, and they would get down upon you and throw these huge stones, amen, as hard as they could, amen, to try to break something on you or knock you unconscious, and they would pelt you, stone you until you died. This process was very procedural because the person who threw the first stone was usually the person who saw you doing the wrong, all right? And that was God's way of protecting justice, all right? Because if somebody lied on you, all right, and say they saw you doing something that you didn't do, hallelujah, the law said they would have to pick up that stone and hit you first. And that was God's way of saying, surely nobody would be that wicked to say that you stole something, you did something, and then if it's not true, they pick up and they hit you with a stone. God's saying nobody going to be that wicked to do that. But in this case right here with Stephen, they were that wicked. Because the Bible says, if you remember in chapter 7 earlier, that they raised up false witnesses against Stephen that say he blasphemed God and he blasphemed Moses. Well, these false witnesses, huh, procedurally, they had to stone Stephen first, knowing that Stephen did nothing wrong in the sight of God, you know? They took off their jackets, the outer court, their tunics. And the Bible says they laid it at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. Anybody know who this Saul is? We know this Saul by another name, Paul. This is Paul right here. This is Paul. Because Paul was in there too. Some of our new Christians saying, Pastor, who's Paul? The person who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul the Apostle wrote Romans, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians. Some say Hebrews, Thessalonians. That Paul. Well, before Paul was Paul, his name was Saul, and he hated believers. He hated Christians. And he was right at about to stone Stephen. He was getting ready. As soon as the witnesses threw their first stone, Paul was ready. Huh? The witnesses took their garment off and they laid it at Paul's feet. Paul, like, get him. Hit him dead in the head. Get him. Huh? It's something else how you act before God get a hold of you, huh? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And just to let you know, all of us have a Saul in us. All of us was a Saul before. I know for me, I used to talk bad about the church. I used to talk bad about the Bible. I used to argue Christians and believers when they was coming to me with the truth. I used to argue with them. Debate. I was a Saul, y'all. Until the Lord knocked me off my high horse. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And a lot of the times, amen, when you do the devil's work and you get saved, God gonna make sure you do more for him than you did for the devil. Hallelujah. When it's all over. I'm so glad about that. Amen. I'm so glad about that. Well, this is that Saul that they're talking about. You see? And we're going, hallelujah, get to a place next time where they actually stone Stephen. And we're going to look at how Stephen reacts to their malice and indignation. We'll look at that next time. But I just want you to know that even in our suffering, God has a purpose. And if we suffer right, if we go through persecution correctly, look into the hills, we never know who on the sideline watching us. And the very people doing us wrong, God could touch their hearts. He touched that young man's soul heart. And as you read Paul's writing, he never forgot about that execution of Stephen. And it was like what the devil meant for bad in killing Stephen. God worked it out for good. Because, yeah, they took Stephen. But God gave birth to a Paul. Woo! I'm telling you. We'll look at it a little bit next time. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, let me not keep you. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your Bible, for your word, and we give you praise for everything that's in it. And we ask, O King, that you would look upon us and that you would favor us in times where we have to go through. Help us know how to suffer. Help us to know that you're with us. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Give us vision when we're going through dark times, God. And help us, O King. Help us not to hate our persecutors. Help us to live before them, God. And we're praying, God, that if there's somebody watching us live this thing, that they would go from Saul to Paul, that they would go from lost to saved because of our testimony, because of our actions. Now, Father, in this place, there's some people who need to know you in a real way. My prayer is that you would save them. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you are here this morning, and you would say, Pastor O, I'm not saved, but I really want to be saved. You want to say, Pastor O, listen, the Saul you described, that was me. I did a bunch of dirt. I said a lot of things. But I am ready to become a Paul. I've worked against God all my life, but I'm ready to work for him now. If that's you, listen, salvation is as easy as ABC. You get real with God and you admit to him the wrong you've done. Then you believe in him and his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. Then you confess him. You open your mouth and say, Lord, save me a sinner. And God will save you and forgive you. And forgive you of all that you did, no matter how bad, no matter how dark, no matter how wicked. There's not a sin that God can't forgive except unbelief, hallelujah, and the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you God wants to save you. But maybe in this place you already saved, amen, but you're getting pressure from outside sources. People persecuting you, family members, friends, on the job. And it's making your legs weak in the faith. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. I want to pray that God will give you vision in these dark days. I want to pray that you hold on just a little bit longer. I want to pray for you that you could bear up under the tough times that we're going through. Listen, if those things describe you, or if you heard something in the word that pertained to you, and you want to come to this altar, listen, the ushers are going to open up the gates, and you can come and pray with me, and we're going to go. Ushers, if you would, just come and open the gates. Come and open the gates. Hallelujah. The altar is open. Come and pray. Come and pray. Ushers, if also for the Lord's Supper, y'all can come up, and we can knock that out. Amen. All at one shot as well. Amen. But the altar is open. The altar is open. Amen. You've been feeling the pressure. You've been feeling the heat. Amen. They're trying to get you out your body. They're trying to get your eyes off of Jesus. I want to pray for you that you'd stay focused on him. Hallelujah. I want to pray for your strength as you deal with lost husbands and lost wives and lost children and lost family and friends. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Maybe, amen, you're on that college campus and they all run into evil. Maybe you're on the high school campus. They all run into sin, amen. But you need the fortitude to stand your ground. I want to pray for you that you don't run out with all the unbelievers. I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. So here we go. Here we go. I want to say, God, thank you for loving me. I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry. Save me. Forgive me. Make me a Paul instead of a Saul. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day you rose. Lord, save me. And use me for your glory. Give me strength, Lord. Not to run with the crowd. Help me to stand. Even if it's alone. Strengthen me through persecution. When they talk about me, please help me stand. Fill me with your spirit. And Lord, when I get weak, show me a vision of my life, my purpose, my calling. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Give him some glory. Our ushers are going to come and, hallelujah, give you the contents of communion, amen. If you're here at the altar, they'll be able to give it to you, amen, right at the altar. If you're seated, we have some stations in the back, amen, where you can go ahead and get a cup from there. Just one admonition for you this morning. Hallelujah. If you don't really want anything to do with God, if you're playing with God this morning, I would advise you not to take communion with us because God takes it a little bit serious. Amen. But if you had the altar with us, if you're saved and you love the Lord, amen, even in the audience, go ahead and partake of the body and the blood of our Lord. What you need to do is peel the little clear strip off and take the bread out first, and then we'll get started and release you so you can continue to enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good job, ushers. Good job, ushers. Hallelujah. It's a good God. Hallelujah. What's up, my brother? Wow, come on. I got you. I got you. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. Hallelujah. God bless and fill. Anoint in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Here we go, saints. Here we go. The Bible tells us clearly, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks to heaven. And he told his disciples, who we represent here, he said, take this and eat it, all of it. This is my body, which was broken for you. And he died for us that we might live, y'all. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember your death in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. The Bible says he took the cup after supper. And in the same way, he told his disciples, take this, drink ye all of it. This is the new covenant in my blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Listen to me. Only way sin could be forgiven is through bloodshed. And what Jesus was saying is, your sins are forgiven because of the precious blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He said, drink ye all of it and do it in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Saints of God, we're going to sing that old doxology. We're going to get out of here. Y'all enjoy y'all Labor Day. Don't cut up too much. Amen. Pastor, don't cut up at all. That's right. Don't cut up at all. If you're going to cut up for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing that and we're going to get out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. On three. Hallelujah. One, two, three. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the church says, amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord, hallelujah, be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed.
J. Mal. Bo. PMG. One nitty pivot 180 with. I just want this beat to just minister to you for a moment.